Are we progressing or are we regressing? Where are we heading? So much violence in this country. That is appalling.
Welcome to the Drew Perowit Podcast. Each week, we explore the inner workings of the brain and the body with one of the brightest minds in wellness, medicine, and mindset. This week's guest is globally revered spiritual teacher and humanitarian leader, Gurudev Sri Sri Ravi Shankar. Sri Sri Ravi Shankar is most notably known for his founding of the Art of Living Foundation, which is a volunteer-based, humanitarian, and educational non-governmental organization that's dedicated to helping humanity eliminate stress and service those who are in humanitarian need. His work has directly reached an estimated 500 million people worldwide in over 156 countries. And his teachings are credited for helping to bring yoga, breathwork, and meditation to the mainstream. I was recently invited to speak with Sri Sri Ravi Shankar in Los Angeles as part of his tour to highlight his global campaign, I Stand for Peace. The interview is short, but I hope it gives you a little taste of his message and his teachings and inspires you to dig a little deeper into his work at the Art of Living Foundation, including their courses, which are widely available. Some of the topics that we cover in today's interview are: what are the fundamental things that are getting in the way of our joy? We also talk about the power of silence and what gets in the way of us experiencing it. I also asked Gurudev, is the world getting better or worse? His answer is nuanced and might surprise you. Lastly, I chat with Gurudev about what he thinks happens to us after we die and how would he explain karma theory. And to start off the interview, I asked Sri Sri Ravi Shankar to expand on a recent quote and explain what he meant when he shared this in one of his lectures that I attended, "When nothing matters, nothing matters." I hope you enjoy the interview. You recently said in one of your lectures here in Los Angeles that when nothing matters, then nothing matters. Talk to us about nothing for a moment.
Anything you can recognize because there is nothing around it. Something is something because there is nothing all around it. Right? So nothing is very relevant in order to recognize something. No thing. I mean, just when I say nothing, no thing. The space is responsible for us to recognize a thing, an object in the creation. So if you see the whole universe, there is space, and in the space objects are. So in the nothing, things are. And we forget the importance of space. So the same thing in our life too, you know. There is space within us. And it's because of the space that everything is happening in life. And the space is not just an empty space, it's full of energy. And meditation is a way to access to the nothingness within you. And this nothingness, when it becomes predominant in your life, then you don't get bothered by all small things. That's why I say nothing really matters when you shake hands with nothing. It's more play of words.
No, I like it. I like it a lot. You know, for some people, they feel that everything matters in their life. And it's hard for them to separate out their attachments, their stresses, their reactions to just everything. What do you think are some of the top?
See, if everything matters, there is no problem. For people, not everything matters. Only some things matters to them.
It's selective. So they may think that everything matters, but really it doesn't.
It doesn't. It isn't really. When nothing matters, then everything matters too. Then you have your awareness equally on everything. Then there is no issue. But real botheration stress is when your mind is not open to the vastness, it is bent on small little things, insignificant things. Anyway, they all change. And you hold on to those which are changing all the time and then get worked out. Get worked up on those things. So, time and again, taking life from, seeing life from a different perspective than what you are in, helps you to get over the stress and that and all that thing that you get troubled by.
So I've heard you share this past few weeks here in your lecture series in LA that our nature as human beings is that joy, is that happiness, is that perspective. So what fundamentally changes that shifts that? This episode is brought to you by Inside Tracker. You know, in my opinion, I think technology can be a critical part in the solution to helping us figure out what foods are best suited for our own unique genetic makeup. That's why I was super excited when I heard about Inside Tracker. Inside Tracker helps take the guesswork out of living optimally and creates a nutrition, exercise, and lifestyle plan that's personalized for you based on your blood work, DNA, and personal preferences. Inside Tracker's cutting-edge technology gives you the science-backed recommendations for positive changes to your daily habits. With their app, you can track your progress every day, and they have an amazing support team to help you with all your questions. Inside Tracker looks at everything from metabolic and inflammatory markers to nutrient and hormones. It even tests your cortisol levels to help you better manage stress, and you have the option to see how your inner age compares to your chronological age. That's pretty fascinating. Inside Tracker makes their results easy to understand and provides tips on how to use food first for optimal nutrition. Right now, they're offering my podcast community 31% off. This is a super special deal they're offering exclusively to my community. Just go to insidetracker.com/Drew. That's DHRU to get your discount code and to try it out for yourself today. That's insidetracker.com/DHRU for 31% off. So growing up, my family used turmeric all the time. I'm talking about in meals that were home cooked or even when I was coming down with a cold or a flu. So now it's kind of ridiculously amazing for me to see that turmeric has become this worldwide health trend since, hats off to my parents and grandparents, they always seem to know how powerful it was. Now, as I've gotten older and researched more into brain health, I was really interested to see that many of my guests have talked about the fact that India had some of the lowest rates traditionally of Alzheimer's anywhere in the world, which many of them thought, and as I've dug into it, I looked into it a little bit more and found the same, that this came from regularly eating anti-inflammatory foods and spices like turmeric. There are actually over 2,700 studies on turmeric showing more than 600 different benefits like fighting inflammation, DNA protection, workout recovery, circulation, brain protection, and so much more. But I know when I was a kid, I did not love taking a spoonful of turmeric powder, and that's the reality for most people. It's chalky, it clogs up your throat, and it doesn't taste amazing. So it's great to see how easy it is to get turmeric in a capsule for everyday use. Not all turmeric supplements are created equal, though. A lot of them are only isolated compounds of turmeric like curcumin instead of the whole plant, which means you're missing out on a ton of important benefits and phytonutrients. So I love taking turmeric complex from Paleo Valley. It contains organic whole food turmeric, so you can get the synergistic effects of all its compounds. Turmeric complex also contains coconut oil and black pepper, which have been shown to improve the absorption of those active compounds by, get this, 2,000%. Plus, it includes other natural anti-inflammatories like organic ginger, rosemary, and cloves. This is why I love the fact that Turmeric Complex by Paleo Valley is sponsoring today's episode. Right now, Paleo Valley is offering my listeners 15% off at paleovalley.com/Drew. That's Paleo Valley, PaleoValley.com/Drew, DHRU. Check it out today.
Ignorance. You know, not being aware of what you have. You know, you have a lot of wealth, but if you are not aware of it, then you start living a very poor life. You forget that you have huge inheritance, and then you really crave for things which you already have.
Do you think that silence is a part of tapping into that resource?
Absolutely. I would say silence is the mother of all inventions, creativity and intuitive ability. And everyone needs this to have a smooth or more colorful life. Yeah, don't you see that?
Yeah,
you need the intuitive ability. If you are going for an investment, you know which investment will work, which will not work beforehand, so you will not do the bad investments, correct? And if you are planning for some startups, you need intuitive ability. And you are writing a poem, you need intuition. You are on any creative work, you need sharpness of intelligence and intuitive faculty in you, well developed, and energy in the body and dynamism which can carry along your vision and your goals that you set for yourself.
So if silence is so powerful, why is there so much fear in this world around even the idea, the notion of being silent?
Well, it's just ignorance because I never experienced it. Anyone has one little dose of silence, the experience of it, will not be afraid of. In fact, that is an antidote for all fear. Fear is simply not knowing your potential or who yourself. And silence helps you to get in touch with your true self. And that fear just disappeared then.
What's the relationship between silence and peace, both on an individual level and on a global level, if there isn't?
Silence is a process. Peace is an impact. Yeah. Silence is withdrawing your mind, your senses, for a few minutes deep within. And then that, the impact of it, that it brings so much peace in the mind, so much of serenity in you, which you can put forth in your dynamic life. And silence is an indirect supporter of dynamism. And peace will be part of dynamism and silence. Peace can be in both you know, states.
So going back to how we started the conversation off with nothing, is silence the vehicle into nothingness?
One of the vehicles. I won't say it's the only vehicle. Yeah. It's one of the methods. Because, you know, silence rejuvenates our system. It rejuvenates our mind and body complex. And it recharges our system. And brings more sense to our thinking. And it also softens our emotions. So there are many benefits of silence.
And on a practical level, what does silence look like for the person who's listening today, watching today? On a practical level, they want to access that.
Got it?
Got it. You know, part of the reason you're here on this U.S. tour, as you shared, is that you are bringing awareness to your I Stand for Peace campaign. One of the things that is easy to do in this world today is to be able to turn on news or social media and see the expressions of violence in others. The harder thing that's there to do is to reflect back on ourselves as the individual and pay attention to the ways that we sometimes unknowingly, maybe through the path of ignorance, are participating in harm in the world. What are some common ways that you see when you look around that people, again, it's easy to criticize the other, but that they themselves are participating in adding to the negativity, the violence on an individual scale, and the overall sense of harm to this world?
See, we cannot generalize. There are people of different calibers in the society. And some want to do good work, but they're not in control of their own emotions, their own feelings. Because neither at home nor in school anyone teaches us how to manage our emotions. So you can't expect an enlightened behavior from everybody. But we must recognize there is some good thing in everyone. So each individual can do some good things. And maybe they do some bad things too. Unless they are so centered, they have such a deep sense of spiritual awareness, some good meditators, they are enlightened. That's a different thing. And you can expect them to be perfect. But normally in society, when you see, look around, you find people have all different tendencies in them. I only look at that, how we can enhance the positivity in people. Instead of going on a blame game and or condemning people, we recognize the good thing in a person and help them to grow with that good thing. See, I say the sign of good friendship is good sign of a good friend, I would say, is suppose you go and sit with a friend and talk to them about your problems and issue, and when you walk away, you must feel lighter. You must feel that problem is really no problem. That issue is no big issue. But if you sit with a friend and share your problem, and when you walk away, you feel heavier and you feel the problem is much bigger than what you had thought, that's not a sign of good friends. So this sense of creating positive atmosphere around us in itself is a skill. I mean, I know it's not easier said than done, you know, but it's not impossible either. And leaders, at least the leaders and the society of the community, has the onus on them to create that positive atmosphere. It is their responsibility to identify the negativity and then override it with a positive thought. There are two ways. One, in one situation, people simply deny the existence of any negative things. They shun it. In this case, they won't be able to really reform or transform unless you put your finger and find out where it's wrong, what is really need to be fixed, what is wrong. You can't fix them, right? At the same time, there are others when you think something is wrong and they keep on notching it, keep on dwelling in it. You know, if you keep on pricking a wound, it only grows bigger. So it's not going to help. But at the same time, if you completely ignore and deny you have any wound in your body, then also you'll be at loss. So the leaders of a society should recognize that, but override that negativity around them by hope and positivity. How they can do this? If they're always engaged and all sorts of things outside? It's a big question. It's not possible. So they must take some time off and go within. When you go to your center, you discover your power, your energy. And from there, when you start acting, then you find that you can do what normally people consider as impossible. You know, here in Heart of Living, we have this bad habit, I'd say, of trying to do the impossible. All the time we take challenges and do the impossible. And it works. So, not to shy away from negativity around, not to dwell in it and encourage it, and at the same time, recognize and move on. That's what I would say would be the most intelligent thing to do. What do you say?
I think it's beautiful.
You agree with me, right?
I think it's beautiful. And I would also add that we often expect that of leaders, but then the question that we're asking is that, do we want to step into it ourselves? It can be both, but I think it's a challenging world when we expect our leaders to do that, but then we ourselves are not participating
in
that.
You know, but each one of us should play the role of leadership wherever it is needed. It's not just one leader will do that, no. Whether political or religious, political, economic leaders, they have their limitations. So each one of us can take lead. When it comes to spreading positivity, you don't have to wait for someone to spread the positive vibes. Everyone can lead that, you know. I believe that. That's why I say, I stand for peace. Though it sounds like an utopia at this time when there is despondency, the sense of hopelessness and war and inflation. And today I heard all the air tickets have gone 3 times more. You know, the prices have shot to the sky. People are finding it very difficult. Gas is so expensive. Food stuffs have become costlier. And in this sort of atmosphere, it's a challenge to keep one's positive mindset, but can do it. One has to do it. So when we tap into that power, that I stand for peace, I can sail through this. Let's all collectively see how we can come out of the crisis. This intention within every individual in itself will do a lot of magic. I believe in that. Yeah.
I think that's a question that a lot of people are asking themselves. In one sense, if you look at the world and you zoom out, extreme poverty, you know, individuals living on less than $1 a day is down. Extreme lack of water resources is down. More people in the world today, unfortunately, pass away from an abundance of food and the diseases that come with it than the lack of food, which is still challenging in its own right. But many of the things that we were dealing with in the world 50, 100 years ago, there's been a lot of improvements that are there. And yet for many people, they feel that they turn on the news or they watch things and it actually feels that the world is not headed in the right direction. So the question for you is the world headed towards a place where we're better off? Or are we going backwards?
Well, the answer to this question is yes and no. In some areas, yes, we are moving ahead. It's very good. In some other areas, no, we are not. And what happened here in US, just last weekend, there were 12 incidents of mass shooting. And this makes anyone wonder, are we progressing or are we regressing? Are we in those barbaric age when Abraham Lincoln has to gather everybody and give them the speech about liberty, freedom? and peaceful coexistence and being together unitedly? Or are we, where are we heading? You know, so much violence in this country. I mean, that is appalling. So, on one side, we are developing ourselves artificial intelligence, and there is so much comfort. Just imagine if the COVID had happened without any Zoom or without cell phones, what would have been the situation? You can't even imagine, right? But today, with Zoom and social media, it made us easier for us to handle the pandemic, right? At least people were in touch with each other, and the food was supplied to their homes. The lockdown was taken much easier at this time, right? There is lockdown, people are still able to exist. So there are many good things that's happening in the world. People are much more conscious about environment than ever before. 41 years ago, when we used to talk about environments, 41 years ago when I used to talk about environment, people would just say, what is he talking about? You know, it's sort of not any intelligent thing to talk about. There was so much prejudice about our lack of awareness about environment. Today, every government has a ministry of environment. So, we are progressing. We are caring for the planet like never ever before. At the same time, the degradation of human values, the degradation of mental health is worrisome. See? The bonding between people has taken for a toss. So, we need to take care of our mental health. We need to see, we get a vision of one world family. We're all part of one human family. See? And shun violence at all cost. And for this reason only I envisage this World Culture Festival, where in one stage, one platform, I like to see people of all different ideologies, backgrounds, cultural affinities come on one stage and then just celebrate life. You know, the motto of Art of Living is make life a celebration. You know? See, there is abundance in the creation. We live in such a fortunate time that we have all the facilities to live a happy and peaceful life. Life with contentment and creativity. Instead of focusing on this, we just engage ourselves into small, petty things and start fight on those issues and create misery for oneself and for the others. Isn't it? So, this World Culture Festival, this time I would like to do it here in America. You know, in small version in all the states, but one big event in Washington, D.C. and another in Los Angeles. This is what I'm planning for the next year. But I would like everyone to come and contribute, be part of it. In whatever way they can contribute, we would like them to join. You know, artists can come and contribute. The business leaders, businessmen can come and contribute. And then everyone and faith leaders can come together and show their solidarity with humanity, saying we believe in human life, we honor human life, and we feel we're all part of one family. We may be of different race, religion, culture, whatever it is, nationality. But, you know, seeing the to see the shared values among all these differences. I think this is very important. What do you say? Isn't it?
I think it is.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And it will heal the polarization that has happened here. And it will also help people to come out of the despondency and feel more empowered and happy. We need to give a better world for the coming generation. You know, we have to see that the children of the future are. We need to give a better world for the coming generation. They deserve, the children of this generation, they do deserve a better world.
So while I have a few more minutes here with you, just a few questions more that I had. So much of how it seems that we show up in this world and our drive seems to be partially influenced based on what we think happens after. So what do you think happens after, once we passed on in our physical form? And does it really matter to explore it much?
Very interesting. You will recognize that life is eternal. It's indestructible. There is something in you that cannot be destroyed and that continues. And the moment you leave this body, one thing is for sure that happens is you see your own life and all that you have done as a movie. And you see yourself as also as a character that you have played a role in it. Yeah? And it's like moving from an actor to a director's level. See, you just switch this role. First you are being an actor, and then you know that, oh, I'm the script writer or I'm the director. You know, I directed this. Well, this happened well, that didn't go so well. So let me do that again. You know. So I see there is no suffering after the body is gone. But there is mostly love and compassion. There could be some traces of incompleteness or certain disappointment which would make one to come back again.
What do you think that people don't fully understand about karma? And is it a topic in one's life worth exploring?
Absolutely. Karma is something one must explore. The first thing about karma is it lifts your level of understanding about the immediate cause and effects to a larger cause and effect. See? It also connects the microcosm with the macrocosm. If you have a bad mood today, it's easy to blame people around you. But when you know it's because the Mars and Saturn conjunction and something out there is happening and that is influencing your mind, you know, you see the whole situation from a bigger cause. So you can't get angry at the Mars or Saturn. They are miles away. You understand, oh, that's why it is happening today. That's why I'm going little cuckoo today or going nuts today. This sort of understanding helps you to sail over the hardship you face through emotional turbulence, number one. Second is you also know the impact of cause and effect. So it cautions you to not to do things which you don't want others to do to you.
The golden rule.
You see? The basis of ethics. This is the basic thing of ethics is this. You don't want to do something to your customer which you don't want your vendors to do to you. Right? You don't want your vendors to cheat you, and you should not cheat your customer. So what you don't like others to do to you, you should not do to others. These are the things that karma can very well ingrain in you. On top of this, there are certain karmas which you can overcome. And there are other karmas which you cannot just dispense away with. You have to go through them, experience them. So it's very complex, but yet it's very practical and doable. And it's wise to know about it. You know, some people say, oh, some years are very important in your life, 33, 43, or 63, all that stuff. I don't subscribe to that. I say every year is important in your life. And it is very different for different people. It's not one rule that everybody, maybe 50th year is important, 60th year is important, nothing like that. For a wise person, every day, every moment is important, number one. And second, yeah, if there are transitional changes in your life, that doesn't have to be a particular age for everybody. It's not a rule. It could be very different for different individuals. Again, this is connected to the planetary movement, you can say. That's why, you know, all these signs that ancient people knew, the astrology, and then the herbology, the Ayurveda, and then yoga, these are called practical signs. Yoga, astrology, Vedic astrology, and Ayurveda. And they, from different angles, make your life more interesting, more pleasantly interesting, let me put it. Interesting could be in any way. And it helps you to sail through the rough weathers.
Because there's a distance in understanding that maybe the circumstances in your life are partially influenced by things that are bigger than what you immediately see?
Absolutely, absolutely. And again, this is not fatalistic, you know. There are remedial things as well. That is where yoga and Ayurveda comes as a remedial thing. Like, you know, karma gives you cause and effect, and yoga and Ayurveda gives tools to rectify it, minimize the bad effect, and increase the happiness factor in life.
So I believe now it's been 40 plus years that the work has been going on now in your teachings of meditation.
41 years.
41 years. And you shared, and your team earlier, I was chatting with them, they were sharing that, you know, it was considered super out there, these ideas of yoga, meditation. What's something that you talk about today that people think of as out there and a little bit woo-woo, but in the next 40 years, there'll be a deeper understanding that this is just another reality of life?
Yeah, many things, many things. I often say that our brain is just a frequency analyzer. There are many dimensions to our life. For example, we are training our young children in the world on intuition process, where people can use the different faculties of their own brain to see, to know, to smell, to taste, and to cognize, and to download. Our brain works like a computer, you know, can download things. So, this is still an experiment with many children. I would like scientists to come and do probe more into it. So they don't think it's some sort of magic. It's a practical science about the breath, about the brain, about our mind, and how our intuitive ability can be enhanced. You know, we have this process for children with blindfolded. They play magic cubes, and they play computer games, and they can tell you when you lose something, they can tell you where they are, and you know, things like that. It's quite interesting to see the abilities that kids can develop.
Would you call that like non-local awareness?
I wouldn't like to call it by any name. I'll just leave it as it is for people to find and do research. See, once you put things into a box, then it becomes stagnant. I just keep open to the scientific community all these different abilities that we can explore in our own consciousness.
And what would
it's
be the hope?
It's something very
that?
Amazing. Hmm?
What would be the hope with that? What would be the hope of what would be the usefulness of tapping into something like that?
Oh yeah, you know, kids who are below average, their grades go up. They have gone up many, we have seen, and kids are able to do things which can amaze everybody.
Could we use that for a force for good in this world?
Yeah, of course we tell them, don't use your intuitive power to find out someone else's password. That's dangerous.
And in some ways, from your can I throw in one more last question? Yeah. And I know you have to wrap up here. I want to close on this, which is that pulling from your lecture last night that I was invited to from your team, you had shared that silence is the mother of all creativity. And I want to ask you, for anybody that wants to make progress in their life in some shape or dimension or another, you know, this is a health podcast, people are thinking about their mental health, their physical health, all aspects that are there. What's one practical way before they get a chance to come to the Art of Living Center and do one of your courses or retreats? Is there something that you might suggest this weekend that they can do? I'm out of time, a little protocol, some sort of prescription that you could offer them.
You know, I have made number of meditation, guided meditations in the YouTube. Just pick anyone, sit with eyes closed, and just listen to this instruction without lot of intensity. You know, if you intently listen to something, you can't meditate. But you listen to something, the light-mindedness. You know, let me put it this way. I'll repeat it. You know, there are a number of YouTube guided meditation I have put out there. And you just sit and listen to them and meditate on it. This is something you can do right away. You know? And again, when you are listening to the meditation, guided meditations, don't listen to it with intention. Intently. I would say, don't listen to it intently, in sort of intense way. Just allow the instructions. Even if you miss something, never mind. So if you can listen to the instruction in a lighter manner without putting too much stress or effort in listening, you will be able to see that you can relax your body, mind, and come up with bigger smile.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
All the best.